Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's go to the screen here. And I've entitled this evening's message, Our God of Patience. Our God of Patience. Praise God. And it's something that we can learn tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's patience, huh? Yes, and we're going to look at that. And listen, before we go there, I just want to mention that to remind everyone that's not here and those who maybe weren't here last Sunday, that this coming Sunday is the Passover feast that all the Jews are going to celebrate around the world. But little do they know that Jesus is in the seven feasts of the Lord. He's in the feast of Passover. He's in the feast of unleavened bread. He's in the feast of first fruits. 50 days later, he's in the feast of Pentecost. And then in the fall feast, which I believe is going to be the greatest event that's going to come, is the feast of trumpets, then the feast of Yom Kippur, and then the feast of tabernacles. And so this Sunday, though, we're going to be celebrating the true death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died on Passover, not Easter Sunday. That's right. It has nothing to do with a rabbit and Reese's candy. No, it's on Passover. And so we're going to be honoring Passover this Sunday. So if you haven't heard the message on the Jesus and the Passover feast, you got to come out Sunday or plug in. Amen. Because I believe God has a word for all of us. Amen. So with that said, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me now to Romans chapter 15. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 5 this evening. And once again, this evening's message is our God of patience. And so let's go there. Verse 1. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with what? The scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. We're going to look at that. Verse 4 and 5. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. And we're going to catch that in a few minutes. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Verse 5. Now may the God of patience, this is where I got our topic, the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. So God is exhorting us to be what? Like-minded? To be like him? To do what? To be angry? To be bitter? To be contentious? Huh? To be backbiting? No! To be patient and to comfort one another. Amen? Because aren't you so blessed when God comforts you? Oh, I'm so mighty thankful when I need to be comforted. I praise God when my wife comforts me. And there are things she does for me I don't even ask, and she comforts me. You know what? Because there's a godness from God, that the Holy Spirit that lives in her. And so I can appreciate those things, those attributes. And guess what? for us born-again believers, those same attributes should be in us too. Can I get amen? It's in all of us. But we got to allow God to have his perfect way and his perfect will. So let's go to verse 1. It says, we then who are strong ought to what? Bear with the scruples of the weak. Did you know there's going to be people that are weak amongst you? I like what Pastor Art shared with me a while back. You know, we talked about ministry. We talked about things of God. And we talked about, you know, understanding and growing the grace. And one of the things he pointed out, he goes, you know, look at everything like an Olympic swim meet. You know how there's like 8 times, sometimes there's 9 lanes. And then there's a race. Some of them go back and forth for what? 8 laps. But the winner touches the wall first. When you touch that wall, they won, right? And there's others trailing. He says that's how it is in the Christian walk. Some people touch that wall and they understand, they get things, and they know now how God wants to operate in their life. They learn to become obedient. They learn to understand their call. They learn how to be admonished by pastors and elders and prophets and bishops and teachers. They learn how to receive, and it's not a rebuke to them. So they're learning those things on how to operate in the kingdom of God. But then there's some that haven't got there yet, and sometimes you can say things and they'll take it offensively. Yeah. And they'll take it like you just rebuked them, and yet you're admonishing them because they're not there yet. And so you can't get angry at them. They'll get there. Give them time. Was God patient with you? Mm-hmm. Come on. Just imagine, he was patient with us before we got saved. Yeah. Let alone now that we're saved, he's still patient with us. And so Paul identifies himself as one of the strong who knows that these things, the issues, the drink that we've been learning, and the heart, the matter of the heart, it makes no difference when it comes to salvation. Look what I found in Galatians 6 right up here. Galatians 6, 2 and 3. Bear one another's burdens. Say that with me. Bear with one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you bear one another's burdens, you pray for them, you comfort them, you edify them, you build them up, now you are operating in the law of Christ. Because the law of Christ is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Look at this. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Wow. Listen, how many times have you heard me say it like this? In the kingdom of God, there's no big I's and little U's. Can I get an amen? We're all equal at the cross. That's right. I don't care if there was a bishop that's been there for 20 years and then just little lay person that has just gotten saved. Guess what? We're still all equal at the cross. That person just happens to has been walking a little longer. But we're all equal. God looks at us as equal. Amen. Look what I found in 1 Corinthians 10, 23. All things are lawful for me. This is Paul talking to the Corinth church. But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one's other's well-being. You catch that? There's some things that maybe you like, but it don't edify the person next to you. So just be careful on how you minister to them. Because sometimes we can minister in the whole wrong connotation. And they don't understand it. They get offended. Yet these strong believers are not to live just to please themselves. Paul understood this. He wasn't living for himself. Remember, he said at the very end of his life, I've been poured out as a drink offering. He offered his whole life to the ministry. You see, those who have touched that wall that we're talking about, those who are there with God who understand these things, should be most humble as well. Because God allowed them to get to a place to understand the things of God. So now you walk in humility. Don't walk prideful. There's nothing to be proud about other than, God, thank you for saving a wretch like me. And so we all have an obligation to be considerate of the doubts and fears of those who think that things are wrong. You know, some people just don't get it yet. Don't push, but learn how to comfort. Learn how to raise up. Learn how to pray. Learn how to admonish. Why? Because they may find themselves frustrated by the failings of the weak, and their concerns and worries over what to be strong seems trivial. Listen, there are going to be times when we will look at someone and says, man, don't they get it yet? But God would say, wait, slow your roll. You didn't get there all at once. So we have to be patient with them. Amen?
Amen.
And so the responsibility, it lies with the strong to maintain harmony in the church. The strong is to keep harmony in the church. To know how to comfort. To know how to edify. To know how to correct. To know how to expound. To know how to entreat. You know, if you're a mean cuss, you know what I mean by a mean cuss? Someone that's mean-spirited. Man, you're not going to have too many friends. I don't care whether in the church, in your family, in your private life. You got to learn how to allow the joy of the Lord overwhelm your being. One of the things I'm thankful for when I first got saved, when I received the Holy Ghost, is I didn't see color no more. I didn't see white, black. I didn't see ethnicity no more. But before I got saved, I just hung out with my own kind. And I would talk like a dog against others. But when I got saved, I loved everyone.
Amen.
I wanted to see everyone get saved. I don't care if you were white, Japanese, black, Filipino. I didn't care. Samoan, I didn't care. I just wanted to see the soul being saved. See that when God gets a hold of your heart, then you're gonna operate like the kingdom of God should be operating. Without these barriers, without these walls. And so our responsibility lies with the strong elders and the deacons that understand these things to comfort the flock of God. Look what I found in 1 Thessalonians right here, 5:14. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. There's some people that are unruly. They'll look at you like if you stole something from them. Comfort the faint-hearted. Look at that. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. This is something that is not, it doesn't come overnight. This is something that we have to learn to. This is something that we have trial and error with patience. And when we start learning, have the patience of heart, we're going to see God move mightily in us. Why? Because He's all about people business. God's all in the people business. Did you know that? His whole concern is to save souls and take them back from Satan. That's why He came. He came to die for us, right? Look at verse 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. And so, this is why God is patient with us. He wants us to get here. Some of us are not there yet. Are we going to get there? Yes. Eventually we will. But it's going to be through trial and errors. Stronger believers, saints of God, demonstrate their spiritual strength precisely at those moments when they are practicing compassion for those who are weaker. We don't laugh at those who fall and trip and stumble. We run to them and help them get up. We pray for them so you can make it. I'm glad I had people in my life in my early walk that came and helped me. And then God had to send people my way to really speak to me. Why? Because we're knuckleheads all by ourselves. You don't have to teach us to be a knucklehead. But God is patient. And so the kind of strength modeled by Christ allowed him to put up with all of our failings. We ought to do the same for one another. Amen? Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 2 of Romans chapter 15. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Did you catch that? Leading to edification. What does edification mean? That means building up someone's character, building up their lives. Do you know there's people that have been downtrodden by life? And when they come into the church, we have to look at the church as a hospital. We're a hospital. Because life has shown us the good, the bad, and the ugly. Many of us got crushed in life. Some people come into the saving knowledge and they've gone through 3-4 marriages. Some of them have kids that are still on drugs. Some of them have spouses that left them, abandoned them. Some of them come into the saving knowledge and they have nothing. Nothing. They've lost everything in life. And yet, God still saves them. Amen. And calls them. He causes them to come to himself, to the Lord. And we have to have the arms of him to embrace them. Can I get amen? That's right. We got to say, welcome. God bless you. You know what? Next time we get someone that gets saved, you know what should be our response? We've been waiting for you.
Amen.
We've been waiting for you. I'm glad you're here. You know, lift them up. And let me tell you, they'll look at it different, like, wow, these people wanted to see me. Yes, we've been waiting for you. And they'll love it. They'll understand. That'll go a lot farther than, hey, how you doing, man? I'm so-and-so. God bless you. Yeah, there's a seat right there. Take it. No, man, encourage them. The strong believer must never be self-centered. Can I get amen? But must be concerned for the spiritual welfare of the neighbor, of their neighbor. The weaker person besides him or her, which are in all congregations, are the ones that need tender care. We need to care for them with that tender heart. Because that's how God cares for us. Amen? To please other saints is done with a golden mind. To encourage and build up that other believers that are in the faith will see that, hey, you know what? I can learn how to build someone up too. When they start seeing you building up others, those who are in the congregation will learn. They go, you know what? I want to build that person up too. But someone has to take lead. Someone has to, they need to see something so that they can react to it. Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church right up here in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. There it is. To build up, that it may impart grace to their hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. So if we know that we've been sealed, that we are heaven bound, and now there's a hell to shun, why do we want to be mean to others? Learn to love them. Learn to put up with them. I know it's tough. It's tough. I know. But Just imagine the heart of God, how he dealt with us. How many times when we was out there in the world, when we had too much to drink, we had too much things we were doing. We were coming in and out of bedrooms. We're doing all these foolish things that would send us to hell. And yet, his mercy and his grace still pursued us. He was pursuing us the moment we were conceived in our mother's womb. That was God. So look at what he says in verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Get rid of it. Don't say nothing no more in that connotation up here. And with all malice. Ah, but look at verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave who? Turn to your neighbor and say, God has forgiven you. And then turn to yourself. God has forgiven me. That's right. You see, saints of God, there's a really fine line to walk. Why? Because the stronger person should not push the weaker one to change his or her ways before that person is ready. Wait on God. Remember, as I've been sharing, they're going to touch the wall soon. They're going to get there. Let God have his perfect way, his perfect will. And then they'll start seeing things like you, that God has shown us and that we have received. And now we're learning how to obey. We're learning how to be led by the Spirit of God and by the elders and the pastors and everyone. We're learning how to fall in place with the things that God has given us. But it takes time. It's not overnight. It's not overnight. And saints, neither should the stronger person pander to the scruples of that weaker one, allowing such scruples to become rules for that church. You know, there's some wonderful ministries, but man, when they stipulate some rules and regs, that's pretty tough. I wonder if there's some... I better leave that one alone. I got to go. I got to move on. God help me. Because I've seen some scrupulous things. Instead, saints of God, the stronger believer should bear with and work to help the weaker believers. Can I get amen? Just bear with them. Help them. They'll get there. They'll get there. So let's go move on to verse 3. Here we go. Verse 3 of Romans 15. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Wow. Christ was the strongest human who ever lived. I hope you know that. Only he could endure what he did. You and I, as soon as we started getting beat, we would have cried uncle. Remember when you were wrestling with your brother and your sister when you were kids? They put you in a headlock and you couldn't get out of it. So they go, say uncle. And you cried uncle and they let you go. Just imagine what he had to endure. The whippings, the beatings, the mocking, the scourging, the flesh ripping, the spatting. Josephus wrote in his writings, he was an eyewitness account. He was a Jew that was there. He's not in scripture, but there's books written by him in history that the Jewish writers and the Jewish people will look into Josephus because he was there. He said he was so badly beaten that you could not recognize Jesus' gender anymore. Because he was naked before the world. And everything was ripped from him. the flesh torn. Wow. Wow, saints. So he was the strongest person, the strongest human to have ever lived. He didn't please himself, but he pleased his Father who sent him. He pleased the Father. And he even said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Oh Lord, let this cup pass, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." So did he fear too? Yes. Did he feel anguish? Yes. Did he feel abandoned? Yes. Did he feel alone? Yes. He saw the cross. He saw the hideousness of it. And yet said, "I still have to go through." You know why? Because he saw you. He saw you. He saw you. He saw you. He saw me. That 2,000 years later, I have to die for them. No one else could have died for us but Jesus only. And death on a cruel cross was not the path he would have chosen to please himself, but his mission was to please God. Aren't you so, how many so thankful that he honored God? He understood those things. Look what I found in John 4:44. "For Jesus himself testified that a prophet was no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast." I found this verse to identify that be patient with your family members who know you personally. And yet, when you first got saved, they didn't understand. They don't get it. They go, "Why? Wait a minute, I know you. What do you mean now you're a religious person? I know you. I know you when we were kids. I know you when we were young adults. I know you. But now?" You see, they think it's a fad. No. That's why Jesus said, "A prophet in his own hometown will not be received." But look, he grew up in Nazareth, right? And when he came there, he did the least amount of miracles there. Why? Because they were walking around with unbelief. But when he went to Galilee, they received him. Why did they receive him? Because all the miracles that he did. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He gave the mute to speak. He allowed those that were crippled that could never walk, walk again. Wow. Wow. Jesus did it for us. Look what I found in John 5:30. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Jesus was sent to be humble, to be patient with us, to honor, to love him all the way to his death. And even though he died a vicious death, he rewarded them 3 days later. That reward came 3 days later. And it came not just for them, but it came for the world. For us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at what I found in John 8:29 here. "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." What does that say for us tonight? Do the things that please God. If he was pleasant and did the things that his Father did to please the Father, we need to, what? Please the Lord too. Amen? And at least give it some effort. Try. Are we going to be perfect? No. But if your mind is made up and your heart is bent toward God, you're going to want to do those right things, those righteous things, because it's going to be burning in you to do those things. Thank you, God. Strength is not a dependence from God, but total dependence on God. Strength in the church doesn't come from each believer being completely independent, but from mutual interdependency. You catch that? We need each other because we're not independent from God. We need each other because God wants us to be used mightily for His glory and His honor, and that people can see that we truly love one another. Oh, let me ask you this. Since you've been saved, for me, it's been 36 years. And I don't know how many years it's been for you. But some of you, you've been on the road for a long time. Let me ask you this. The 613 laws in the Old Testament, do you think you've at least broken one of them? Since you've been saved? Since God said if you break one, you've broken them all. So there ain't nobody in the kingdom of God here on earth that's walking as a born-again believer can honestly say, I've never broken one of them. No. All it takes is one to be broken, and then you broke them all. But he gives us a way to say, thank you, God. Only God can make this way. See, we got to remember, for God so loved the world. Did you hear the word? For God so loved the world. Love. Remember that word, love. He loved us. So if He loved us, we need to learn how to love Him. Can I get an amen? Yeah. So He said, there's two commandments that cover the 613. Two of them. He said, number one, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Because then he goes on to say, all these hinge on what the prophets spoke about and wrote about. So here's what he's looking for. He's not looking for perfection, because none of us could provide perfection. He's looking for a love relationship with you. That you love Him and you'll learn to do the things He's asking of us. It's not about, you got to do this, you got to do it that way. If you don't, you failed, you loser, and we go around doing this. Huh? You ever seen someone do this? Huh? We can't do that. Loser. No. Praise God, I have the screen on. The camera's not on me. I got that up there. No. When you learn to love Him, you'll learn to want to do the things He's asking us to do. Because He knows we're never gonna meet that mark. But we strive. We strive for perfection. We'll never be perfect, but we're striving for perfection. Amen? And every day we're learning. Every day we go through a trial. We go through something that God is teaching us. He wants us to have a teachable spirit. A heart that will be taught by Him and by those He places in your life that can be trusted. Praise God. And so, strong believers are those who are willing to limit their freedoms in order to care for and love their weaker brothers and sisters. Amen? Because that's what Paul understood. Look at Psalm 69, 9 here. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Did you catch that? See, Paul quoted this from the Psalms. It's a messianic Psalms. It prophesied of the Messiah coming into the world that would happen to him. In other words, his own people ate him up and chewed him out and spit him out. In other words, here, the prophesied Messiah came and they didn't see it. And he fell on them and they didn't see it. What's God saying to us? We see Jesus, don't we? We see him clearly. We cannot be like those who, when they saw him face to face back then, they didn't recognize who he was. And yet, he fulfilled every promise. He fulfilled every scripture to a T. And yet, they failed to acknowledge that. Well, guess what? We haven't seen him face to face, but we believe on his name. Can I get an amen? Amen. Blessed are those who have not seen him, but believe in his name. Yes. Wow, man, I'll tell you, that takes a whole lot of faith, doesn't it? Because we haven't seen him face to face. Those people did. And they didn't even believe that he was in the midst of them. They were able to touch him. Some of them even spat on him. And yet, we love him and adore him because of his name. Acts 4 and 12, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's move on to verse 4 of Romans chapter 15. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Okay, so I need you to catch this. There are some, I'm going to say it, there are some churches that won't read the Old Testament scriptures no more. Why? Because that was then. We're in the New Testament now. Well, wait a minute, no. For whatever things were written before, look at this, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. See, they won't read these scriptures to their congregation who don't want them to know about the Old Testament. Because scripture is scripture. Can I get amen? Amen. This is nothing that would say we do away with the Old Testament. That's a lie, and that's a lie from the pit. You see, saints, the scriptures were referring to the Old Testament and were written and preserved for future generations. Okay? So, let me ask you this question. Around the world, what are they celebrating on Sunday? Passover. Passover, right? Well, wait a minute, that's the Old Testament. Yeah. But people still believe in the Old Testament. Can I get an amen? And we all know that Jesus was a shadow and a type in all seven of them. And there are some churches that won't teach that. They just won't. I don't know why. I shared last night with our men's study, because we're in Exodus. And praise God for the men that came out. But in our calendars, we follow the Hebrew calendar. So when you look at, when you open up our pamphlet, on the top left is a Gregorian calendar. You know, April, May, June, whatever year we're in. But on the right is the Jewish month and the year. And then when you look in the calendar in the days, the blue numbers are the Hebrew month. And the burgundy are the Gregorian calendar. And if you notice that there are days where there's two different numbers. One will say the 5th. And then in that same box, in that same day, it's the 9th. So they never correlate with one another. And one of them is accurate with God, and the other one is not. Which is the accurate one? The Hebrew calendar. And God has divine appointments on there. And so the scriptures here referring to, he was referring to the Old Testament. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. That we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Look what Peter wrote here in 2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So, who wrote the majority of the book of Psalms? David. And don't we still read them today? Matter of fact, some great songs come out of Psalms. Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and upon his shoulders the government will be upon him. And he was called what?
Wonderful,
Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Because we believe in the Holy Scriptures. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Of the Old Testament. Yes. You see, our scriptural knowledge affects our attitude toward the present and the future. Look at what it says in Hebrews 6:18. It says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Look at verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Let me ask this question, Bible scholars. When do you see Melchizedek mentioned in Scripture? Where did Melchizedek appear to? Right, to who?
Abraham.
Yes, to Abraham. And Abraham tithed unto God with Melchizedek. Many scholars believe that was Jesus that came. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So the more we know about what God has done in years past, saints, the greater we will be it's going to be your confidence in what he will do in the days ahead. How many has been following the series or concluded season one of The House of David? Woo! Man, I'm telling you. I won't give nothing away, don't worry. You got to watch it, though. Watch it. Right now, they're on location filming season 2. And there's rumors there's going to be a season 3. Because season 2 is going to be about Saul chasing David all over the place before he becomes king. And so that's a long drama there. So it's going to get good. So look at this. When the Bible talks about all scripture, does that talk about just New Testament? Does it talk about just Old Testament? Look what was written down in 2 Timothy right here. Look at this. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, say that with me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. That means teaching. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every what? Good work. So all scripture is to what? To edify us, to build us up. And so, saints of God, I have to ask this question. I found four biblical principles to support this view. Number one, let's look at this. Number one, God's attributes and character constantly remind us in whom our hope. He's our hope. When you look at what God has done then, did you know that He can still part the Red Sea in your life?
That's right.
Did you know that we will meet David, Goliath in our life? How many giants has He destroyed in your life already? Oh, come on. Many. Look what Psalms 46 says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in what? Trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, we won't be moved. Amen. Look at my second point up here. The biographies of saints who overcame great obstacles give us examples of what can be done with God's help. But everything requires one thing. Let me ask you, what is required to receive everything from God? What's required of Him? Anybody else? You hit it. Faith. Look at this in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a what? Rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, I didn't have time to go through many, but look at this. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, and by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to what? Faith. Now, obviously, there was a whole lot more. If you go to Romans chapter 11, we call it the Hall of Faith. Not the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. And it talks about Abraham, talks about Sarah, talks about all these people that believed in God, and God came through and saved their bacon. Can I get amen? That's what I love about God. He wants to do something so miraculous in your life so that you cannot help yourself but go tell others what He's done for you. Number three, look at this. The direct exhortation of Scripture calls for endurance and speaks encouragement. When you read the book of James, it's all about encouragement. Look at James 1 and 2 right here. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? What's our topic tonight? God is patient. Well, guess what? Testing will produce faith. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? Nothing. Look what I found in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look at this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of whose faith? Our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did it for you. He did it for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. He did it for you. Thank you, God. Look at the fourth point. The prophetic statements support our hope for a wonderful future planned for us in eternity. God has eternity in mind. I hope you know that. Listen, I know we don't see it right now. All we see is today. We have a memory of yesterday. And some of us can't see tomorrow. But He has eternity in mind. Something we can't really grasp yet, other than we believe it by faith. That when this flesh finally expires, we will be with Him. My beloved friend and laborer in Christ, Pastor Rod, his hope was to be with Jesus. And he's there with Him. He's there with Him. And I miss him dearly. I miss him like he was my own brother. And yet, he's where we want to be. He's there. You know that song, I Could Only Imagine? I love that song. Because we could only imagine when we're there. Are we going to be at his feet or are we going to be dancing in joy? I don't know. It doesn't matter at that point. It's just that we're there. And we're happy to be there. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Look what Paul wrote to Romans, back in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which you and I stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. We're going to go through things. Yet God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And look at this in verse 4. And perseverance, character. God's more interested in our character than anything else. And character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who He has given to us. So when we received the Holy Ghost, man, we were, man, filled with joy unspeakable. And that joy needs to remain. Thank you, God. Let's never quench the Holy Spirit. Let's never grieve the Holy Spirit. And the only way we grieve the Holy Spirit is by deliberate sin. Let us learn to refrain from it. Let us learn to remember, God, I don't want to do these things because I love you. That's right. Not that I can't do these no more. But I don't want to do these because I love you and I don't want to break your heart. That's when you'll get close to touch that wall, and then you'll get there to touch that wall. He's looking for our love relationship. Amen. We are to endure as Christ endured and be encouraged by the example of other believers who have gone through. Just remember, you're not alone. Others have gone through. And some have great testimonies that you could glean off and said, man, if God did that for you, He could do that for me too. And He will. And so we look at our last verse, verse 5 in Romans 15, and it reads, now may the God of patience, that's where I got our topic, and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to who? According to Christ Jesus. Amen? And so the patience and encouragement received from the Scriptures have their ultimate source in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God. For the Scriptures are His. Did you know that Jesus is the Word? In the beginning was the Word, right? And then when you read John, It talks about that Jesus is the Word manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, walked amongst us, and then He was received up in glory. Wow. He's the full embodiment of the Word. He's the Word Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke everything into existence. And so Paul asked God to give the believers an attitude of harmony to Jews and Gentiles. Because there's no big eyes and little U's. Can I get amen? The word is for the weak and for the strong. So that we would all follow Jesus Christ. And I end with this scripture. It was a prayer. And I did a snapshot. You know how you could snapshot things?
Screenshot.
Or screenshot, yes. This is a screenshot in John 17:22 of Jesus' prayer. It's only two verses. Look at this. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Amen. Knowing that God has done this for us should bring great joy, saints. Great joy that no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, guess what? We would be able to endure. Can I get an amen? We should be able to go through life's tribulations knowing that Jesus is with us. And maybe, just maybe, those who have tuned in on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you stumble onto our website. I don't know. Maybe you've been listening for a while, but you haven't come to that place of surrenderance. Maybe, just maybe, tonight is your moment where your faith will connect with God. And God will do the supernatural in your life. God will do the miraculous in your life. God will introduce Himself to you by faith. If that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God can save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. That God will do the miracles in your life that you need. Maybe you're going through something that you cannot. It's impossible for you to defeat those things right now in your life. But I'm here to let you know that God can. That's right. God can. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And if that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith and watch God show up in your heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Woo, is He worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.